Thank you, Joseph. Good morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 this morning. There was a graveside service that had just concluded, and as soon as it was over, there was this massive clap of thunder, and then there was this bolt of lightning, and then from the distance another loud clap of thunder. And the little old man leaned over to the preacher that was there, and he said, "Well, she's there." You know, when we think about death is a reality, isn't it? And death is something that we have to be prepared for, because we don't know when that day is going to come. Recently, we are been vividly reminded of that when we think of the events that took place down in Florida, when those 17, I believe it was, souls were taken out of this world and ushered into eternity. And our hearts go out to those families and friends that are affected by the deaths of those dear folks. But you know, I was thinking about them, that when they got up that morning and went off to that school, very unlikely that they were thinking, "This is going to be my last day on planet Earth." So we don't know when that day is going to be for us. But isn't it wonderful to know that we can be prepared now and have the absolute assurance that when that day comes, we are ready? I hope that you're here this morning with that kind of peace in your heart. And if you don't have that peace in your heart, I pray that as we go through this passage of Scripture, that you will find, not only is it lacking in your heart, but know how to receive that kind of peace. The devil is at work, is he not? When we look at what happened down there in Florida and we see many other events that have taken place recently, it's very clear that the devil is at work. And the Bible refers to the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's exactly what he is doing. He is seeking to devour souls and usher them into eternity before they have a chance to find that peace and that assurance that they have received Jesus Christ as Savior. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. And he is alive and well and at work. Knowing that makes our theme that we have for this year of getting outside. Now, getting outside is not just going outside into the parking lot, out of the building. That's not the idea. The idea of getting outside is going out from here and reaching those people with the gospel before it's too late for them. That's our goal, getting outside in 2018. Now, I'm going to give you a little test here this morning. And as we give you the little test, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a minute. But I'm testing our communication skills, actually, when I give you this test. How many of you knew that our theme for this year, in 2018, was getting outside in 2018? Maybe you learned it from the Watch Night service. Maybe you learned it from Mark's message that he had on January the 7th. Maybe you've seen some notes in the bulletin about it. How many of you knew before this morning that that was our theme for 2018? Not too bad. Our communication skills are getting there. They're improving. We didn't have 100%, but several, and I'm thankful for that. Now, today what I'd like to look at in light of that is getting outside, and this situation that we're going to look at is about a demon, or two actually. There were some demon-possessed men that the Lord Jesus encountered and cast the demons out. And so we're going to read about that here in Mark chapter 5. And as we get to Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And let me just clarify that when we go to Matthew's gospel, this event is actually recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We go to Matthew's gospel, it refers to two demon-possessed men that actually came and met him. And so there's not a contradiction here. We believe that what happened is Mark and Luke are just referring to the one of those two that seems to be more of like the spokesman for the two, the one who actually had the interaction with the Lord Jesus. So that's a little word of explanation there. Verse number 3 says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine, that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And so those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, and he said to him, go to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you, and departed. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and they all marveled. And so as we look at getting outside here in 2018 and this story about this demon-possessed man who had been delivered, I'd like to consider three things: to get outside with a plan, to get outside because there are people that need to be reached, and then also to get outside with passion. And so I want to do a little follow-up test. And now in this particular time, I don't want you to raise your hand, but just answer to yourself. You remember how we asked if you knew what our theme was already before this morning, and many of us raised our hands, myself included. My next question is this, and you don't have to raise your hands once again, but do you have a plan for how you want to get out in 2018? And let me ask you why I'm asking you, because I'm asking myself the same thing. Have you ever sat in a meeting just like this, and you've been challenged by God's word, convicted by God's word, that you need to follow up and apply that truth to your life? And then we walk out, and what often happens? We think about it, we're convicted, and we're moved, and we're challenged. But because we never make a plan on how we're going to apply it, it's almost like we, maybe if you're like me, it's just almost like you just assume eventually you'll do it. And what happens? We eventually don't do it. Maybe you can relate to that. I hope that's not just me. I hope that some of you can relate to me with that. Because I know I've been guilty of that many times. And what I realized was is one of the main reasons for that is because while we're moved, while we're, you know, and I believe the devil doesn't really mind if we're convicted as long as we don't act on it. And why we don't act on it is often because we don't come up with a plan. And so I'd like to talk about getting outside with a plan, first of all. And as we look at this in the context of Mark chapter 5, I think it becomes very clear that this just isn't an isolated event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe the context explains further as to why this is part of his plan. This wasn't just they happened to get in the boat and go to the other side. This was a plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what I'd like to consider about this plan is that this plan came from his heart. There's three things about this plan I'd like to look at. And the first thing is that it came from his heart. If you go back one chapter to chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and look at verse number 1. Notice verse 1 says, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him." So he's got this multitude of people in Mark chapter 4 that are gathering around to hear him teach. And as you read further on, he gets out into a boat and they're gathered there by the seashore as he's out in the boat. And look at verse 35. "And on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over the other side.' And now when they had left the multitude," and I think that's important, "they left the multitude, and they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him." Now, as you read what happens next, they're out in the boat, and a storm comes up. A violent storm, as is often the case on the Sea of Galilee. The storm came up so much that they went in fear, the disciples were in fear, and the Lord Jesus had fallen asleep, and so they go and they wake him up, and of course we know that what does the Lord Jesus do? He simply speaks to the wind and the waves and calms the storm, and then they go to the other side, and they end up where we are in chapter 5, where he meets up with this demon-possessed man. So what happens after the encounter with the demon-possessed man? What we read is that what he does is after that, they asked him to depart. The people from the country see what happens to this man, and they gather around, and they're fearful. And so they said, "No, we want you to get out of here." And so Jesus, being the gentleman that he was, got into the boat, and he went right back to the other side. And what do we read there in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 21? It says that when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Did you notice that there? Here he was in chapter 4, multitudes of people gathering around him, teaching. Isn't that what he wanted? He wanted the multitudes to come to hear the message that he had been sent by God the Father to bring to planet Earth, to people. And he leaves the multitude, goes across the sea, encounters this storm, calms the storm, gets to the other side, encounters this demon-possessed man, and goes right back to the other side, right back to the multitude. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't it clear that this was a plan by the Lord Jesus Christ to reach this man? I tell you, when I first read that and I saw that, I was like, what an amazing thing. What a compassion the Lord Jesus Christ has for one soul, for this one man. To think that he would leave all of these multitudes who are hungry to hear him teach, encounter a violent storm. He's so exhausted, he falls asleep. They wake him up, he calms the storm, and he goes over and he has this encounter with this one demon or two demon-possessed men that they encounter. This plan that he had came from his heart. You can come up with a plan, but you know, if you know that you're going to have problems and the type of thing that's going to happen in that plan is going to be hard, if your heart's not in it, you're probably not going to follow through on that plan. How many of you came up with a plan to exercise this year? Raise your hand. Well, you know, if your heart's not in it, you're not going to likely follow through on that plan. You might think, I need to do this, but if your heart's not in it to be committed, that this is what I need, this is what I want, I've got to do this, not likely we're going to follow through on that plan. But his heart, this plan came from his heart because he loved this one man or these two men so much that right in the middle of ministering to multitudes, he leaves and goes to deal with them and to encounter them. As I look back in my life, and maybe you can relate to this as well, I was not raised in a Christian home. And I knew nothing about God, had no interest in spiritual things. And I look at this demon-possessed man and what he was like, and I can relate. Not that I was running around crazy like that, but I was lost. I had no interest in spiritual things. And God had a plan to reach one sinner like me. And he took a man who grew up in Pennsylvania and got saved and went to school in Kentucky and moved to the state of Michigan where I was living at the time. And he was somewhat of a city slicker kind of guy. Didn't really like to be in the country. And he lived in the city at first. He got married. And then he moved to a little town where I was from that was so country that there was not even a stoplight in our little town. Farming town. A dirty town. There was one bar, one gas station, one restaurant, and one post office. That's what we had in our little town. Not much of a little town, was it? But God loved one sinner in that town. And he made a plan to send this man there to share the gospel with me, to change my life, to save my soul. God's plan comes from his heart. And you know, if we are going to get outside in 2018, we can be moved in our minds. Yeah, we need to do that. But until our hearts are spoken to, we're not going to do anything, are we? Until our hearts are spoken and we are convicted and convinced that this is what I need to do as a believer, we'll never stop to sit down and come up with a plan. That's where it has to start. And that plan has to come from the heart. You might be thinking, well, what can we do? If you want to come up with a plan, here are some suggestions. There's an evangelism class that was mentioned. That meets every other Thursday. This Thursday, we'll be meeting. I'll be out of town. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be there this week. But every other Thursday, we meet for some training. And eventually, we're going to get to the point where we actually go out and simply share our testimony. We're going to talk more about that in just a little bit as well. There's the basketball ministry. You might think, well, I can't play basketball. Well, you don't have to be in the basketball ministry. All you got to do is be there, sit at a table, and help keep score. And if you're inclined to give a little 10-minute testimony, you can do that. If not, you can just be there to help. There's the urban ministry that we go and we cook breakfast down at the urban ministry. And someone shares the gospel while we're there. There's the jail ministry. You can talk to Mark and some others about that, the jail ministry. The van ministry was mentioned. There's help needed for drivers on the van. These are all ways we can get out. These are ways that we are currently getting out as an assembly, but help is needed. And maybe the Lord is touching your heart. What is your plan? These are some suggestions, but you might come up with your own plan how you can get out in 2018 to share your testimony with someone, to simply give a gospel tract. Joseph was talking about the table that's out there. Also to the right, there's some racks out there with gospel tracts. Maybe that could be your plan, is to give out gospel tracts. That's a way that we can get out. So it came from his heart. But it also, not only did it come from his heart, but it also came with hindrances, this plan that he had. It came with hindrances as well. What are some of the hindrances that he encountered? Well, there was a lack of sleep. He had been tired. He'd been serving all day. Now, when you think about ministry, when you think about reaching out and doing something else, what do you think of? Man, I'm just so busy already. Are we not? And most of us are. Most of us are busy already anyway. So to say, we're going to come up with a plan to take up more time. Well, the Lord Jesus, this was one of the hindrances that could have been considered a hindrance, is this lack of sleep. And you know, if we're going to get outside in 2018, it might require some sacrifice. It might require a little more sacrifice of time, even to the point of losing some sleep over it. Or maybe there's problems, hindrances, problems may come. For them, it was a storm. They got out there, that could have been a hindrance. That could have been a hindrance to them getting to the other side to reach these demon-possessed men that were over there. There's going to be problems. I can promise you there will be problems. If you decide, if you make a plan to get out, you think the devil is going to sit back and just say, oh yeah, go for it. There will be hindrances. There will be hindrances from without. There will be hindrances from our own flesh as well. Hindrances will come. Problems will come. There's also going to be doubts. Remember the disciples as they're out on the boat and the storm arises and he says, when he calms the storm, what does he say? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Doubts can do it. We might think to ourselves, I can't do that. That's not me. What difference can I make? That's for somebody else, not for somebody like me. Doubts from others can be a hindrance. Getting out of our comfort zone can be a hindrance. Do you think that going to this demon-possessed man was an ordinary event in that day? It was quite out of the ordinary, was it not? In fact, it was so out of the ordinary that people wouldn't go anywhere near that man. So this was getting out of the comfort zone to somebody who needed a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that requires us to get out of our comfort zone. And rejection. What happened when he was there? When he was there, they told him to get. They wanted him to leave. As a result of him being there, they didn't want him to stay there. They wanted him to leave. Sometimes we get rejected too. If we make a plan, we're going to get out in 2018, we might experience rejection. But does that mean that we should allow that hindrance to keep us from going? Absolutely not. There may be hindrances. But the wonderful thing is even though there's hindrances, Jesus' plan not only came from his heart, came with hindrances, but it also came with help. Who was in the boat? The Lord Jesus Christ was in the boat. And when you see that storm and that raging sea that was seeking to stop them from getting to the other side, all it took was a simple word. And the sea was calm. The raging winds had ceased. The problem was solved. We have help. If we're going to get out in 2018, we can't do it on our own, can we? We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength to do it on our own. And you might be thinking, I can't do it on my own. Perfect. That's the right attitude to have, because we can't. But thank God that his plan comes with help. The Lord Jesus was right there in the boat as they went to get outside, as it were. In 1 John 4:4, we read, Mark covered this not long ago on a Sunday in his message, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. He's greater. Is there any doubt of him being greater? He can overcome any hindrance. He can give us the help to get out. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In Matthew 19:26, it says, Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men, This is impossible, but with God, what is true? All things are possible. All things are possible. We can do that. We can get out with His help, not on our own, but with His help. But you know, for many of us, it is going to be a matter of getting out of our comfort zone. It might be us realizing that even if it's not my personality, even if it's not my forte, even if it requires me to sacrifice time or maybe even sleep, if my heart is there, then I know His help, that He will be with me, that He will help me through that. Those hindrances can be overcome by His help. In Matthew chapter 28, I love this verse. I believe Dave mentioned it at the end of the Lord's Supper, if I'm not mistaken, where the Lord told us to go into all the world, to go out. And what is He telling us? He's telling us to get outside, is He not? And what did He say? Lo, I am with you always. That's His help. He'll be with us. It might not be easy. There's going to be hindrances, but thank God He will be right there to be with us. I hope you're encouraged that you want to come up with a plan right now. You know, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been saved by Him and His love is compelling you to come up with a plan, I hope that right now, don't wait, right now, take out a pencil or a pen, a piece of paper, and write down, what do you feel God wants you to do? What is your plan? If every one of us will come up with that plan, look at whatever hindrances, and consider the help that He's going to give us, man, we could make a difference in 2018 in really getting outside with His help. So, His plan, first of all, getting outside with a plan, but also getting outside because there are people that are at stake when we think of getting outside. Once again, in Matthew's gospel, he refers to there being two demon-possessed men. There's no contradiction. The point is this, though. Jesus cared for people. Jesus cared for people. Aren't you thankful Jesus cared for people? We didn't deserve it, do we? We are at enmity with Him because of our sin, but thank God that He cares for people. His whole ministry, this particular example, is a clear evidence of His love for people. To think of Him being exhausted from teaching all day on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then getting into the boat so exhausted that He falls asleep, and all as a part of His plan. Why would He do that? Because He cared. Because He cared for those men that were over there. Think about what the Bible describes about these men. It's pretty amazing how He describes these ones that He went over to reach. What were they like? First, in Mark chapter 5, in verse number 3, it says that no one could tame Him. In verse 5, it says that the demons drove Him into the mountains and the tombs. Listen to this. Day and night. Day and night. Where He was crying and cutting Himself. This morning, I had asked my son Daniel if he could help me this morning in the message. I didn't know he was going to leave early. He had a trip he was going on. So he wasn't able to be here. But what I was going to ask him to do was to be out that door right there. And when I first started the message, I was going to ask him to run through that door and just act all crazy and pretend like he's cutting himself. And Daniel's pretty good at acting crazy, if you don't know Daniel. And then make his way on over there and then come over here and sit on the front row and just sit very still for the whole rest of the message. Because that's the picture that we have here. This is what happened to this guy. This is the picture that we have. In verse number 9, it says that he was possessed by a legion of demons. Now, a legion, a Roman legion, could be up to 6,000 men in a Roman legion. And so this could be up to 6,000 or so demons that were possessing this particular one of the two. In Matthew 8:28, he describes him there as being exceedingly fierce so that no one could pass that way. In Luke chapter 8 and 27, it says that they were possessed by demons, listen to this, for a long time, and they wore no clothes and they dwelt in the tombs. These are the ones that Jesus made a particular, specific plan to reach. That was me on the other side of that lake. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was you too. Now, you might not have been a raging lunatic or whatever, but we were captives of sin, were we not? We were captives of sin and we needed to be delivered. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who could do that. And His love for people. Oh, His love for people. One of my prayers for my kids and for this assembly is that we will love God with all of our heart, that we will love His Word, that we will love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will love each other, and that we will love the lost. And that's what I pray. I pray that we will. I don't think that I have the love that I should have in my heart for the lost. Or I would have a plan. I would have a plan that I get out there very actively, and it doesn't matter how bad or impossible that person might appear, I'm going to care, because as we look at the individual, it's easy to look on the outside, is it not? We can look on the outside and see them on the outside, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He saw their soul, didn't He? He saw that they had an eternal soul. If you could ever, you couldn't pick a worse case than what we have here in Mark chapter 5. When you think of the demons that were cast out of this man, there's one other lady, Mary of Magdala, seven demons were cast out. There's individuals where individual demons were cast out. But this is the worst case that we know of. The only other time when more demons were displaced was at the beginning, when one third of the angels fell and are now those demons. And at the end of time, when He cast them into the lake of fire, but other than those two times, here was this man possessed by a legion of demons, powerful demons. Getting outside requires us to see people with a lost soul and to see them as Christ sees them, because that's how Christ saw me. He didn't see me as that hopelessly lost young man who had no interest in spiritual things. He saw me as a lost soul who is headed for a Christless, fiery eternity. And He made a plan to reach me, and He made a plan to reach you if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let me ask you this. Could those demons have killed that man? There's no doubt they could have killed him. I mean, if the people tried to bind him with chains, and he could bust those chains because of the strength of those demons in that man and all the things that he was doing, do you think that those demons could have easily killed that man? One of the demons could have easily killed that man. Why did they not kill him? We don't know for sure, but perhaps it's just like a dog on a leash. Perhaps God allowed them to go so far and He held them back from taking his life because He saw this man had an eternal soul and He cared. He cared to reach him. And maybe that's the way we need to look at people, is they have an eternal soul that needs to be reached, and we need to get outside in 2018. Not only for the sake of having a plan and because there are people, but to get outside with a passion. We see this in this passage of Scripture as well. And look at verse number 15 again, if you would, Mark chapter 5 and verse number 15. It says, "And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. I love that. Don't you love that picture? It is beautiful. Why is it so beautiful? Because spiritually, that was me, and that was you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To think of being raged by, we were out of control because of being enslaved to sin or whatever it was, and now here is this man sitting. And Luke's gospel tells us that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he's clothed and he's in his right mind. If that's not a transformation, I don't know what is. This guy was completely changed. The scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Let me ask you here this morning, have you experienced that kind of transformation? Has he changed your life? I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you know about Jesus Christ. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you can name all the books of the Bible. I'm asking you this. Has Jesus Christ transformed your life? Because this is a picture of what happens to a person who is genuinely saved. They are clothed. What does that remind us of? That when we get saved, our sins are gone. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ to be made acceptable in the sight of God. What a beautiful picture that is. To be sitting at the feet of Jesus. To be there because we want to worship him, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, and to be in our right mind. What a change. What a change. I hope he has transformed your life. If not, you can receive him as your Savior. The next thing, not only is he transformed, but he becomes thankful. He comes back. Now, can you picture this guy? What a change. Can you imagine with such a dramatic change? I would imagine him wanting to go back. He hadn't been probably around his family. His family hadn't been wanting to be around him. It says this was for many years, for a long time. This guy had been possessed. And with these changes, he could be glorying in the greatness of his new life and just want to go off and see his family. But no, what does he do? He goes to the one who made the change in his life. And he sits at his feet. And it reminds me of the Samaritan woman. We're going to talk about her in just a minute. But it also reminds me of the lepers who got cleansed by the Lord Jesus. And 10 lepers were cleansed. And how many came back? One of those 10 came back. And that one leper, when he came back, what did he do? He fell down at the feet of Jesus. And this is what the Bible says he did. He gave glory to God. You remember what Jesus said about the other 9? He said, where are the other 9 who are not doing that? They have not returned to give glory to God. You know, we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the transformation is so powerful in our lives. We should be so thankful for what he has done in delivering us from sin, that our natural response is to come and to sit at his feet. And when do we do that? Sure, we do it on our own privately, probably every day. But corporately, we come together at 9:30 every Sunday morning to sit at the feet of Jesus, to give him thanks for transforming our lives, to remember him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you're saved, I hope that you are coming there to remember him. It should be a natural response, just like this man came and to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so thankful. And I hope that you will be thankful as well, and that I will be thankful. And then the last thing is to testify. You remember what he told him to do? The man wanted to be with him, and Jesus said, no, I don't want you. You can't be with me right now. I want you to go back, and I want you to go to your family and to your friends, and I want you to do 2 things. I want you to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and I want you to tell them how he has had compassion on you. What is he saying? Give your testimony. Give your testimony, what God has done in your life. And this is powerful. I know we're out of time, and I want to do this very quickly. But in Mark chapter 5 and verse 20, it says that he did that. He went and he proclaimed to Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and they all marveled. And the word there for marveled, it means that it's in the imperfect tense, and it means to admire with wonder. And it's in the imperfect tense means that they kept on marveling. They kept on wondering. In other words, if they kept on wondering what happened, he kept on telling. He kept on telling them, look what God has done in my life. And they all marveled and they all wondered. You might wonder, did his testimony have an impact? We could go two chapters later in Mark chapter 7 at the end of the chapter and into the beginning of chapter 8. And guess where we find the Lord Jesus? In Decapolis. Same area. The same place where these people had said, we want you to leave. And best as I can tell, this is probably about a year later or so when he comes back to Decapolis. And now we see 4,000 gathered to hear the Lord Jesus where he feeds them in Mark chapter 8, in the beginning of chapter 8. Where is he? Same area in Decapolis. Why the change? Maybe it was because of the testimony of this man. Where they had wanted him to leave, now they're coming and they're hearing the Lord Jesus. Can one person make a difference? One person can make a difference if we're willing to give, simply give our testimony of what the Lord has done in our lives. So to get out in 2018, get outside with a plan. I hope that you have a plan to get outside. If not, come up with a plan today. Get outside for people who need to know the Lord Jesus, and get outside with a passion like this man did as well. One person can make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge that we have. And we confess, Father, that we are weak sometimes in these areas. Father, I pray that you will challenge my heart. Help me to see people as you see people. Father, I see what you were willing to do to reach these demon-possessed men. And I see what you were willing to do to reach me. Father, I pray that you will help me to have that kind of heart as well. A heart for people that need to be reached by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. We're weak. We fail sometimes. There are going to be hindrances. But we thank you for your help. And I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here, Father. Help us as we seek to honor you in this way, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.